I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Desi, noun, a person of Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, Nepali, or Sri Lankan origin who lives abroad.
American Desi. Well, that's what we hope to discover here.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of American Desis. My name is Arjun.
I'm Akash.
We are here to discuss our re-release of Pallavi Dhawan. But first, there's actually a few current event stuff that we wanted to touch on real quick. Just strangely, this week has been really big for like South Asian news in the States. First off, let's start with Ahmed Muhammad in your state of Texas.
In my city of Dallas.
Irving? I thought it was Irving. Am I wrong?
Irving is, it's a different suburb, but it's part of DFW.
Okay. I would love to hear your thoughts, being that's your hometown, just in general.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't see, this is something I would never say to white people or any other people, but I saw the clock yesterday. Have you seen the clock?
No.
So let me say this after seeing the clock. The initial reaction, I don't necessarily have a problem with. Where it gets racist to me is how they treat him after, is the arrest and all that other stuff. That's where it gets racist. But if you saw that clock, it don't look like no clock. And if you just seen movies, you'd be like, what the hell is that this kid is bringing in? Any kid, I'd be like, this needs to be confiscated. But I think growing
up in
Dallas,
it's in a little briefcase, right?
It's in a little briefcase, wires sticking out of it, like a... It just looks a little like, it don't look like no professional bomb, but it looks a little suspect. So you would definitely confiscate it, but I think if it's a white kid, it just gets confiscated. You get questioned a little bit. If it's
Well, there was that news story.
Then this is where it gets racist, when you put cuffs on him, and the cop apparently, according to Ahmed, when he walked into the whatever, the office with the cop sitting there, he was like, yep, that's who I thought it was. And that's where it becomes a whole different ballgame.
Well, you know, there was the story of the white kid. I forget exactly what city it was in, but he brings in a non-working bomb, and they just confiscate it. He doesn't get arrested. Nothing happens.
That's what I'm saying. Kid,
so yeah, I mean, look, I think that something that was strange was that you have a teacher that knows, you have an engineering teacher at this school. First of all, I think it's amazing that that school has an engineering class. Like, that's amazing. Just want to throw that out there. The engineering teacher knew what it was. These other teachers, he was in school for like 5 periods. He showed it to his engineer teacher in the first period, then a few periods later, and was told don't show it to any other teachers. Then had it in his backpack, and it beeped during English.
Right.
And then still 2 periods later, it was that he was arrested. And I'm saying no one could have, hey, engineering professor, engineering teacher in this school, you want to tell me what you know about this? Like, this felt like this should have been stopped. There's no reason the handcuffs should have come out.
You know what's weird, as I'm thinking right now? Here's the thing about Irving. Irving is known as the brown people haven of Dallas. What I heard. Now, Dallas didn't have that many South Asians when I was growing up. I didn't feel like a decent number. But now it's like a lot of South Asians. And the number I heard was 300,000.
Wow.
And I think the population is like 4 million. So we're almost 10%. And Irving is a hub. So it's weird that you would experience this in Irving, where you should be so familiar with. Like, when I was in high school, there were, I think, 2 other brown kids there, one of whom I've never saw, and then another one, Muslim kid, but like Pakistani kid. But in Irving, he should not be the only Muslim kid. It's weird. I guarantee you Irving's got more brown kids than a lot of schools, even in the Northeast.
Well, let's talk also about the power of social media. And I've been one to be somewhat anti-technology technology in the past and anti-social media. But this is an element. This was a standpoint where the amount of public
self-righteousness.
Well, whatever you want to call it, but the attention that was brought onto this story via social media really helped and changed the situation and really made for an immediate change, which I thought is that's actually really kind of wonderful to see because he's fine now. He's fine.
Can we be honest? He's not fine. He's much better off.
He's
he's going to go meet the president. He's going to meet the head of Google. Goddamn Zuckerberg knows his name. He is good money.
Now, I was wondering, I am going to be curious, and I think it's, you know, here's the thing, is there's so many kids where this is happening, and there's like, I'm sure he's not the first. I'm curious to see is what happens, is his love for technology inspired by the fact that, because if these people weren't meeting with him now, I would be like, I would have a hard time going back into something that caused me to get handcuffs and like treated like I was like, treated so disgracefully, you know? So I'm curious to see what he ends up doing.
Yeah, I mean, that could have happened. We'll never know. He's going to go meet Obama. I mean, this is the best thing that's ever happened to him. Like, let's be honest.
I mean, but the reason that it was is because the public support was so overwhelming that people took notice. People in power took notice and are like, okay, we have to do something about that.
It's good. Cool. It's good, but I've said this before. I think as minorities, we need a little racism to kind of bring us together, I guess is the word, and remind us we are not the majority. And this is what Dr. Sure. Soni talked about, like the reason it's hard for South Asians to come together, especially particularly Hindus, but South Asians in general, is we just haven't had it that badly. So there's nothing to really bring us together. And I think for every person, a couple of things like this, maybe not this extreme, but a couple of things that are like, hey, man, you're not one of them.
But this happened.
It's good.
But this happened.
Yeah, and it's good that everything worked out
for
him.
I'm not saying it's going to go away. I don't think
that's my weird. Like, I feel weird. Like, are we just going to try to eradicate every single case of racism? We haven't eradicated every single case of goddamn polio.
No, because here's it's one of those things where you're trying to get rid of an ism, which is almost impossible because it's a thought.
It's quite possibly mental illness. So, like,
right.
But Charlamagne proposed that idea to me, and I was like, you know what? There might be something to that. And are we just going to just shout down every person who might be mentally ill?
No, and I also don't think that the way of actually solving racism is with shouting down. I think, as we've talked about before, I think that the only way to do that is with education, exposure, and compassion. So, but I do think that, you know, until there is equitable power dynamics in our country between cultures and between races, racism's gonna exist, and I don't think you have to then worry about that in whatever twisted way.
Racism will always exist, and I think there will always be. There are comics who some people who follow me know I don't particularly care for, who I think just get off on these stories. I really think there are people, not just like in the entertainment business, but people who are like excited by these stories.
Well, I was curious to hear. You normally have a resistance to these kind of stories because
I did have a resistance to this story. I tweeted that I thought this was a good thing. People went nuts. People went nuts.
I think you have to explain that a little bit more contextually.
Twitter only gives you 140 characters, though, so like, what am I really going to do? You know what I mean?
Jesse Williams is able to turn those into essays. I think he just writes an essay and then figures out where 140 characters are each time.
I don't know who Jesse Williams is. Sounds like he would be a handsome guy.
he's one of the more beautiful men in the world. Well, he's the guy on Grey's Anatomy. He was also like a public school teacher, and he's become somewhat of this advocate, maybe the right word. I don't know, but he uses Twitter insanely well to like talk about complex things. It's really quite actually, it's been interesting to watch. I think he does a really good job with it. But this story was, it did hit you. Was it because of the hometown?
Listen, I'm going to be honest. It didn't really, like, I wasn't crying for this kid.
No, I'm not saying that you were crying, but you were the one that was like, we got to talk about this week.
I mean, yeah, I just assumed we could. I wasn't right. Like, we got to talk about this. I was like, we're going to have to talk about this.
Well, I do want to say I'm glad that it's working all out for Ahmed. I think it's great that he's going to meet the president.
I think it's great. I really do feel for this kid. If I'm ever in Dallas, I would like to meet the kid, talk to him. He seems like a good kid. It's not great that it happened. I don't, you know, I'm not like, I think in the long term, though, it's good for him and us.
Well, it reminds him of, you know, that there are these kind of dynamics in the world. It also reminds him that people are trying to work past it. And it reminds us as a community that we still have work to do in this country. But there were some stories where things did not work out as well. And I'm referring to Suresh Bhai Patel, where just let me get the exact date of this happening. It was, okay, Washington Post, you want to give me the date? September 11th. A deadlocked jury failed to reach a decision in the federal trial of an Alabama police officer, and a mistrial has been declared, which is, I don't even know how to be more disappointed in the judicial process in Alabama that this is possible.
I mean, it's not Alabama. Don't make it a Southern thing. It's the same thing is happening in New York.
Fair. Sure. I think that's fair. I mean, the police officer's defense was that he lost his balance, which there's video evidence. I mean, like, when we can't get shit right, when there's a video to get it right, it's like, I don't understand. It's a special form of denial that allows for the members of the jury to not see this for what it is. And it disappoints me. This is something that disappoints me, and I'm not happy about it.
You will never find a cop guilty. It just does not happen. I mean, we can sit here and pretend we're shocked and disappointed and like there's no
fairness,
but that's
shocked.
Just what it is. You're just not ever going to have a case where the cop is found guilty.
I think there have been.
When? I have never heard of one.
Oh, no, people are getting fired, but they're not being found guilty yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
People are getting fired.
And even that seems kind of rare. I mean, like,
that is rare. It's only happening more and more. I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I'm shocked. I'm not even saying I'm surprised. It's just disappointing.
Yeah.
It's just disappointing.
It's disappointing, but I'm not even saying this. Like, I just knew this is what it was going to be. There was zero chance in my mind this cop was going to jail. You don't send cops to jail. And to be honest,
you should.
Here's what I was just about to say. There should be a punishment, but I just realized sending a cop to jail is probably the worst punishment you can give anybody. Because, like, so they always say, like, child molesters, rapists get treated the worst in jail, which I'm fine with, to be honest. But, like, imagine how a cop would get treated in jail. You are sentencing him to actual hell.
Yeah,
like,
but
hell,
you know,
on earth.
Yeah, but there are guards and they're solitary. There's ways around that. I'm not, I have no, that's not the reason not to send him to prison.
I mean, well, sure, I guess, but it's,
For me, it's fairly black and white. This man deserves to be, whatever the punishment is for assault. Now, I'm not a legal expert, so maybe the punishment's like 2 months. I don't know what a proper sentence would be, but so I'm not going to speculate. But this man deserves, there has to be consequence for his actions. He got fired, but I do think that, you know, if someone else did this and there were some, and Suresh Bhai Patel was pressing charges, he'd be in jail. Or she. So,
yeah,
I think that there should be consequences, and I don't think that the fact that he's a police officer.
Yeah, I think the solution is to this whole police brutality. Not the only solution, but I think a pretty logical solution that sounds really weird to say, but just you got to pay cops more. I think I don't know if I've said this on here.
I think you've said it on air. Yeah, I think that we have to make it more appealing for the
intelligent people, for not Neanderthals. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to get some idiot cops. There's really the only thing that's going to separate people who would choose crime and choose police. Like, being a police officer, I'm sure at a certain point is going to be, well, I get, you know, let me just be on the right side of the law. Either way, these are the only two things I'm qualified for. There's no difference in level of qualification or intelligence, really, probably, from your typical criminal thug to your dumb police officer. Like, the dumb ones.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we are... I think that would solve a lot about teachers.
I agree with
teachers. I think that would solve a lot about nurses.
I bet you teachers would stop fucking students if you paid them a little better.
I don't think that that's as much of a pandemic as police brutality, but sure, throw that in there. And then cops.
Isn't it, honestly, though? Can I say something real quick just to get on a bit of a tangent? It really is. We as a society have decided it's not as bad. It's horrendous. Because it's mainly female teachers and male students that were just like, yeah, that's cool.
No, what was that? How many instances of it?
Oh, dog, it happens all the time. It just doesn't get Twitter crazy like these do. It happens all the time. You hear these stories. Look in the news. Look up teacher-student inappropriate relations and see your computer will explode.
I'm going to see if I can do this while we're talking.
It's all the
time. You really think that it's as much an issue as police brutality?
How many instances of police brutality against South Asians have we had?
No, I'm not saying just against...
This is the one we know of.
Well,
and listen, there's probably a lot that don't make it to the news, but in terms of stories that make it to the news, I'm willing to bet money there's more teacher-student stories than there are these stories.
Well, then specifically police brutality against South Asian?
Minorities.
Sure. No, I don't.
Dog, how many can we name? And Trayvon Martin was 2-3 years ago.
Are you kidding? But what's happened since then?
5-6 cases.
Where people have died, but how many instances of police brutality?
That we know about. We'll go Suresh Bhai Patel. We'll go Eric Garner. Oh, we'll go the girl who got punched by the police officer.
Sandra Bland.
Sandra Bland, maybe.
That's her name.
I thought Sandra Bland was the flag lady. No, you're probably right. I don't know. Who cares?
I'm saying there's so many that we're getting confused.
Okay. Now, look up teacher-student inappropriate relations. And the fact that we don't know a single name, that lets you know how much we marginalize that. This is the issue.
I don't think that until you can give me some sort of stat, I can't find it right now.
Because no one cares.
No, I don't think that's true. It's a huge scandal every time it happens. Story?
I grew up in Florida.
This happened often.
Okay.
But not enough where it was like, where I would say it's the same thing. Jennifer Lacey, I believe that was her name.
That's the point. I have not seen that hashtag once on Twitter. So this is the thing that we've chosen to rally behind.
You're wrong. I'm so sorry.
And it's not your fault. It's not your fault.
I'm sorry. I got to stop you. Until you come up with something a little bit more factual. Look it up. It's called Google. Look it up for next episode. But what you're trying to do right now is equate that the level of police brutality is as high as the amount of teacher-student inappropriateness. And I'm happy to hear that, but you're just like, your only argument is because you and I don't know enough, like don't remember names from it.
The big list, female teachers with students. This is only female teachers with students. I'm just doing A's right now. Abby Jane Swagger, Abigail Holloway, Adrian Hockett, Adrian LaFlamme, Allison Mosbeck.
You got to give me dates. Peck, this isn't doing
Allison
anything.
Ward.
This is
2007, 2007, 2009, 2007, 2008, 2009 and 2005.
Now you're just saying you got. That's not what's. You got to give me a stat, like how much this is happening, how often this is happening per year.
Okay,
what you got to find. I mean, I'm just saying that, like, I think it's a little crazy to just throw those two randomly into things.
These are all
stories.
My point is, these are
marginal.
All stories. You're not listening to me. You've never let me finish this sentence. These are all stories that made the news. We have not heard of a single one on Twitter, have we? Have you ever seen a tweet, "This has to stop" on Twitter?
2007 was how long ago?
This is the most recent case was 2007?
No, I'm just saying, like, how would I have known about it on Twitter?
Any case. Point is any case. You can make this specific if you want to, but that's just a tactic to, you know, this happens. This has happened a year ago.
I'm not saying that this doesn't happen.
So, but my point is you never see that on Twitter. You never see anybody, this must stop. I have never seen a single tweet about how female students got to stop doing this with male teachers. We just really marginalize that. The cause we have chosen to get behind is this.
Well,
is police brutality. You can make it worse if you want to, but we have definitely marginalized this.
Sure. I don't think they're in the same category of an offense at all. So if that's me, quote unquote, marginalizing,
sure,
this is this
that's
has
my
this
point.
Has
it is. I mean,
this
you're
has to go with your morality about
it
sex.
Is
this
molesting.
Has much more to do.
No, this has me trying to yank down the self-righteous people. That's all this is. I don't care, really, to be honest, about any news. I'm just trying to these people who are climbing up on this ladder of self-righteousness about racism. We have marginalized, and you just did child molestation.
No, I did not, actually, and I don't appreciate the way that you're trying to twist this, that you're calling it child molestation now?
Yeah.
I don't think a 16-year-old and a 28-year-old teacher is molestation.
All right, well, then Jared is completely legal.
No, Jared was looking at child pornography. Do you know the ages of those kids?
Jared, from what I understand, had sex with a 16-year-old, and that was enough for me to say send him to jail.
That's not enough for me to say send someone to jail. Having sex with someone that's 16 is not enough. Was she consensual? What was the deal? Like, I'm not. But this, I think this has more to do with your morality and your issues around sex.
Zero
than it does.
To do with my morality. Zero to do. Arjun, have you not learned? I don't care about any of these news stories.
I do care about sex.
Get riled up about a news. When have you ever seen me?
You said that was enough. Hold up a second. You cared enough to say that's enough to send Jared to jail.
Yeah,
why?
Sure. Why not?
Okay, so that's just being cavalier about why you're sending someone to jail. Like, why would you send him to jail?
Because it's child molestation.
It's not.
That's by law statutory rape.
Yeah, I think that there's a difference. Statutory rape is a very complex, nuanced thing, man.
I mean, listen, it's not consensual and not. And if the law
It is about. Absolutely. Rape has to do with consensuality. And statutory rape is why people get complex, why people feel like there's more nuance to it, is because it can be a consensual relationship and someone could be 17 and the kid could be 18. The 18-year-old is still going to be charged for statutory rape, even if they're in relationship.
Okay.
I'm going to say that feels a little crazy. They're in a relationship.
Okay, so that's my point. It's still against the law. He broke a law.
Okay, and I'm saying that the reason that I would marginalize that situation because I think the law is wrong. I don't think the law is wrong when it comes to police brutality. I don't think the law is wrong when it comes to violence. I also think the act of sleeping with someone consensually is not in the same way as, you know, getting beaten up.
Okay. I mean, that's your thing. But we have said, you said one law is not as bad as the other. I don't think either one is worse than the other. I haven't said that at all.
See, I do.
I'm just saying for us to completely marginalize one thing and completely uplift another, society decided this is worse or this is the easier thing to feel self-righteous about.
Or one is worse than the other. There are things that are worse than the other. I think a violent rape is going to have a similar sort of effect on society than it is on that a police brutality case will have.
For like, to say having sex with a 15-year-old when you're a teacher.
Dude, that's not what I said.
Or a 14-year-old. Or that's however old these kids
see,
are. Is not as bad as police brutality. It's crazy. They are equally
Why?
Bad. They are
Why?
Equally bad.
Why?
Because I've seen students that have had sex with teachers. The psychological damage is nuts. They just break down crying hysterically for no reason. I've heard these stories of a girl I knew in middle school and high school who had an inappropriate relationship with a teacher, and then she would just break down hysterically crying for the next 4 years. You run out of the room. Consensual, by the way. But you're 15. You don't know any better. You're 14. You don't know any better.
But
you don't
happened,
think that has any that psychological impact?
No,
That's
I think
crazy.
It does have psychological impact. I'm not saying that it's good. Let's not twist it to say that it's good.
It is just as bad.
I think there's more nuance to this, bruv. I really do. I think that the stories, the guys and girls in Florida, I mean, I can only reference the news stories around that because that was when I was growing up. That's where I was, and that's where I would see the news. And I was growing up in a time where I read news in the newspaper, so I didn't have Twitter, so national stuff wouldn't come to me as quickly. But those stories, I mean, you had a woman that, like, they were trying to get married. And 16-year-old, 17-year-old kids, I would say is different than a 15-year-old kid. Yes, listen, you're painting me in this very dangerous corner where you're painting me like I'm saying that this is fine. I'm not saying it's fine. I'm saying that it bears looking at.
I didn't say you said it was fine, but you did say it's not as bad. And to me, that's like, right. That marginalizes it. That's a little crazy.
I think
society marginalizes that, and that's fine.
I don't know what your point about
marginalizing. I don't even really care about the marginalizing. I'm just saying we get very self-righteous about this whole race thing. Like, this kid Muhammad, I can't believe, got cuffs put on him. Yeah, that's not great. That's a terrible thing. But it's also a terrible thing when a teacher has sex with a 15-year-old student or a 14-year-old student. Where's the outrage then? Isn't that a little weird?
I don't know what you're looking for.
I mean, you just said it. The whole world united behind Ahmed. How dare this kid have cuffs put on him? If you want to measure the psychological trauma of a 15-year-old who has sex with a teacher and Ahmed who got cuffs put on him, I don't think people would be like, well, this Ahmed kid is never going to recover as much as they would this 15-year-old kid or this 14-year-old kid is.
I think you and I are speaking out of turn because I don't think, I mean, there might be situations where you're right. There also might be situations where that 15-year-old, 16-year-old, 17-year-old kid is going to recover.
You can think that. I don't think a 15-year-old kid, a 14-year-old kid, even a 16-year-old kid with a teacher, like, no. And I'm pretty sure the girl that I knew was 16.
So this is a personal story coming from, like, this
no,
coming, your story is coming from a personal.
I don't feel any. She wasn't a friend of mine. I just saw it happen, so I know this does have
one
an impact.
Instant.
And I don't. And I've never brought this up in 2 years of doing and us being friends. I've never brought this up because I, right. Generally speaking, I don't choose to get outraged on others' behalf. I just think it's funny that we get so outraged about all these. I think it's funny how we choose our outrage, and I don't think we do it for other people as much as we do it for ourselves. We do it so we can feel better about ourselves. We can stand on the pedestal and look down at everybody else and say, oh, at least I'm not them. I've said this to you. I don't know if I've said this on the podcast. We're running lower on time, but this is my general point. One of the most profound scenes in any movie to me ever was in Scarface, believe it or not. And it's at the end of the movie. Tony Montana is drunk, the bad guy, Al Pacino, the drug dealer, drunk at a restaurant by himself, and he says, you know, we're old. I don't know how many people have seen the movies. He says to the restaurant, you need me. You need me so you could point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy. And then he gets up and walks out. And that is what I think social media really is. When you get down to the heart of social media outrage, it is us finding a new Scarface every day and pointing at him and saying, that's the bad guy.
Well, no, I mean, and I saw your tweet earlier today where you were, I don't know if that was earlier today or, I mean, I'm bad at Twitter, so it might have been the part of the while you were away thing, but you said something too effective, and correct me if I'm wrong. Keep sending the petitions, it's cute. What was it? Twitter activism?
Yeah.
Something about that?
We all just want the path of least resistance to being a good person. That's why Twitter activism exists. And then I said, keep sending those petitions, though. It's cute.
Right. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with that at all. I really do agree. And I think that you're right that there is a way that we really want to point the bat. I think that's fairly true. I'm not going to argue with that. But I also do think that some outrage is also coming from a standpoint of, like, there's some things that everyone can agree upon very, like, black and white is wrong. And seeing handcuffs on a kid is easier to say than someone having consensual sex is easier to say whether it's right or wrong. It's easier to see that, like, a 14-year-old kid with handcuffs on is wrong, is worse than two people having consensual sex.
I mean, listen, I'm going to go ahead and call them both equally bad. That's just where we're going to disagree.
All right. We should probably move on. We have very little time. We did not. The whole point of these re-releases was to talk about the community. And we talked about the community in a different way today. How should we do this? Should we touch on some Twitter? And then I think we should save the email. And come back to that. What do you think?
Sure. Yeah.
Thanks to Sarah Myers. And this is what I love about community. I'm going to say this, man. I love that Sarah Myers, through news to us about Indarien, which I think is a suburb of Chicago, Inderjeet Singh Mukher was beaten by a teenager. Prayers up to you and your family. we're going to be watching to see what happens. But, you know, this is a terrible situation. I hope you recover. I can say that we hope you recover. Sarah Meyer said she is disgusted by that and truly hopes that they charge the kid as an adult. I'll let the judicial process play out as it is. Subhadra got mad at us because the message written on Sharadnani was by me and she's not a guy. Apologies. Last week, sometimes technology-wise, we can't tell.
Sorry, bro.
We got some people sharing the podcast, which was really great. My friend Sarah Myers talked about my friend that only allows her niece to watch Caillou. She said that's weird. I'm not going to disagree. Ramya at Ramya One says awesome interview. Please have on more fab women like Pallavi. South Asian women are doing great things in our communities. I agree. We're going to keep doing that. Think we do a good job of that.
I'm gonna be honest, I think we got way more female guests than male guests. Maybe not way more, but I definitely think it's female heavy.
But there's still, she's right though, got really awesome women doing cool stuff. Subhadra comes back and says best episode so far. I please never stop the podcast. Well, we are going to try not to. Pooja Malhotra, how do you feel about this article? And I stand with Ahmed, similar to your interview about Muslim being a predominant. Pooja, I'm going to say this. I'm not going to talk about it. It says 1 out of 2, and I don't think we got your second tweet. So I don't know exactly what your question is, but we will address that if you hit us back. That was Twitter. That was our Twitter. We got a couple of emails, like I said, but we got Akash and I got a little locked into our conversation earlier, so we will save that for next week. We have another episode dropping on Monday, as per usual. Actually, a fun two-part episode with a guy who's an agent. So we're going to take it on the other side and show you a different side of the entertainment industry, which will be really fun. He's a good dude, really good dude.
Yeah.
And that's it.
All right.
Akash and I both have jobs we got to go to, so we're gonna sign off real quick. Keep sharing, keep doing all that stuff. Akash is gonna yell at you, and then I'm gonna say goodbye.
Keep spreading the word. Keep rating the podcast. I don't know what Erdogan is talking about. I love all you guys. You're beautiful people. You know, I just don't know where his aggression is coming from today. It's really crazy, right? Like, God, what is this? I don't know if you meditated today, Arjun. Maybe do that. You know what I mean? Focus on the breath. Hey, guys, you're amazing, beautiful creatures. If you could do an amazing, beautiful thing and continue to rate the podcast and review the podcast and let people know about the podcast. Also, keep sending us your correspondences. We love to hear from you.
Are you doing a voice? Are you doing a voice for me? Is that like...
I don't know what you're talking about. This is me being loving.
My voice is much deeper than that, fool. All right, guys, you heard him though. Share the word. Share what we're doing, and we'll talk to you on Monday or not. What? Goodbye. I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash. God bless. I love you. Arjun doesn't.
'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.